Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
newly appointed media person, Charles Jamont, and I'm joined by
additional appointed person, Andy Kay.
Good evening, fellow games journalists.
Yeah, listen, Indeed. We are leading the charge.
That's right.
Changing the industry.
Hard hitting.
That's what I said. You know, a podcast, you know, when were they going to let in a podcast that's 2/3 cis white male into the movie?
Well, they did it.
That's the diversity they've been needing.
Indeed.
And I couldn't be more proud of us.
Because I took the swing. You cowards waited till you see how it went for me.
That's true.
Actually, you told us, hey, it went through. And I said, wait, when did you do that?
I told you I was going to do it.
I think I remember you talking about it, but
sorry that I had the initiative.
It's that go-getting attitude, James.
Yeah, Charles, that's what you don't own the process. That comes up on your yearly review, I'm sure.
Listen, rate yourself 1 to 5. Now remember, not everybody is a 5. No one's a 5.
No one's a 5.
Not even the best are 5s. No one's a 5.
Did you make the company $10 million this year? Why not 11? 4.
I love those self-rating stuff. I blatantly tell everyone what I'm going to rate myself. 100%. You tell me why I'm wrong.
That's fair. I hated self-rating.
Yeah, it's not useful.
I never gave myself a 5.
I was just like, what do I have to rate to get a raise? Because that's what I'm going to rate myself.
100%. Yeah. Your bosses are going to do that, are going to rank you anyways. Let them do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's been this is an auspicious day. I feel like we actually have 2 stories, but also a good amount of news in those 2 stories to talk about.
Oh, wait, there's 2 stories? Oh, wait, there is.
That's right. We delayed the podcast one day because for some fucking reason, I know why, because they wanted to give more time. They wanted to give people more time to finish it. But the review embargo for Final Fantasy 16 ended today. That's true. Know, the day before it releases, which I think is actually pretty standard for Square Enix. And we'll get into that in a minute. And also this morning, very quick. So on Monday, there were leaks and rumors about a Nintendo Direct coming. And then Tuesday, they announced it. And then Wednesday, we had it. It was just that fast.
Yeah.
So we got our traditional late Nintendo Direct to close out the Summer Game Fest, not E3 season. Because they were always last, if you remember.
Oh, they were, weren't they?
Yeah, they would always be like back in the day, like it would be like if Xbox and PlayStation and all the other publishers, they would do like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Nintendo would always be like the Monday or Tuesday afterwards.
Well, at least one E3 tradition is alive.
Yeah. Well, they deleted an extra week this time.
Yeah. Well, they brought the goods. I'm excited to
They
talk
did.
About.
Yeah, they did. So let's talk about the Nintendo Direct. I'll tell you what they didn't announce, a new console. Cowards.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're looking good though.
As you'll see as we go through this, this is the end. They have squeezed this rock till the last drop of blood has come out. That's it.
That's fair.
Yeah. And that's not to say there aren't good games in here. There are, but man, when you look at this list, you're like, man, you got nothing left, Switch. You got nothing left in you. They opened up with the preview for the Scarlet and Violet DLC. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about this because you two didn't even play Scarlet and Violet, did you?
Well, you're the big Pokemon boy. No,
I am the big Pokemon man. I actually haven't finished Scarlet yet.
Ooh, fake fan over here.
I know. What can I say? They haven't really given any new dates either. They're still coming out. The first one set in the past. They showed some of the new Pokemon. They look pretty cool. But they're coming out fall, winter. I think it actually might be October, but they just really haven't given kind of that name. After that, they gave a Sonic Superstars another little trailer. That's the new 2D Sonic game that we saw at other conferences. Still cool.
Amy's power is lame. Like, the whole point of Superstars is you can, I think it's up to four players simultaneous.
Yep.
Playing classic characters, Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy. And all Amy does is run swinging her hammer. That's it. To destroy, like, just to destroy walls and stuff. But Sonic can destroy walls. That's what the spin dash is for.
Can't Knuckles do too?
I think they can all.
Knuckles floats. He, like, glides, which is weird as a concept to me.
And he can climb walls.
Right? And he can climb walls. Yeah.
And then Tails just flies around and whips around. But Amy, she just swings a hammer. She won't even spin dash. I don't know. It was pretty disappointing once I saw that. But otherwise, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They then had another farming game because why not?
Wait, is this the one I got excited for or the one that looks
Kalia? Lame?
No, that one looks lame.
Yeah.
They were leaning so hard into the cozy vibes. They kept telling you it's a cozy game. And I think they even say, how are you going to feel cozy? Stop. Stop it. Like, I'm excited that this is an emerging category of games. I don't think it's ever been recognized, but it feels like it's something developers are building towards. But don't yell it in my face. You have to earn that. Earn it.
Fair. They also announced that the Persona 5 Tactics game, Persona 5 Tactica, will be coming to the Switch on November 17th, along with all the other systems.
How do you guys feel about the art style on that?
We didn't actually really get to talk about Tactica that much because we had so much to talk about last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Tactics player.
Oh.
I brute forced my way through three houses and it didn't really do anything for me.
Sure.
I don't know. How do you... They demoed... this was actually kind of a longer trailer. We got to see some of the new features of how they put in all out attacks and persona features in the game. So it's going to be an expanded tactics system, which is kind of cool. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Is more interested in tactics games?
For me, I do like tactics games. I appreciate them very much. But my problem is tactics games require a certain gimmick to catch me that makes me want to keep playing it because it's so easy for tactics games to get really boring. If you know, the main mechanic is move over there and attack a thing. You need to have a very interesting set of mechanics that lets you play around on the board to make it fun and interesting. And I just don't know enough for Persona's iteration here whether or not that's going to be good. My favorite tactics games and still one of my favorite games of all time is Final Fantasy Tactics. Surprise. But the reason why is because there's a class system involved. And when you level up specific class combinations, that unit can then unlock a new job to have. So it's very fun because each job has unique abilities and different ways that they can traverse the board. Geomancers can ignore any water terrain or earth terrain. Dragoons can ignore height differences, so they could just jump wherever they are. So if there's interesting ways for Persona Tactics to mess around with the board, it might be really fun. But I just don't know enough.
Well, you can get Personas and fuse Personas. Maybe that's their approach to a class system. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know.
All the Persona spinoff games usually review pretty well, don't they? Alice doesn't necessarily just shit those out. They usually put thought into them.
I think most of them have been successful from what I remember.
At the very least, all the five ones have definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for Strikers. I think Strikers only gotten okay, but still, it's pretty good.
Was that the Musou?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, Musou games are tough. I think that's by definition, they kind of get boring to a certain extent. I don't know. Yeah, so it's cool. It's coming to Switch. I don't think that's where I'm going to play it. Also, that's right. What is it? Persona 5, Royal, never coming to Switch, apparently. Yeah, you get Tactica. Get fucked. Wait, also, they didn't say anything about Persona 3 Reloaded either.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, I'm curious if that was just an oversight, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see what's going on with that.
It came to the Switch, didn't it?
Persona 5 is not on the Switch yet.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it?
I can save $20 at Best Buy.
Oh, maybe. Is it Royal or is it regular?
It's Royal, too.
Oh, okay. Then I'm crazy. All right, never mind. I thought it didn't come to the Switch yet.
Listen, even the Switch doesn't need another iteration. It can run Royal, a 10-year-old game. It's
there
fine.
You go.
It's
fine. Next, they had a trailer for Mythforce. It's a four-player dungeon crawler game that's been on early access on the Epic Store for a while. It's fun. It takes a lot of inspiration from like early 80s cartoons. Think like He-Man and stuff like that.
It's a fun game. What did you think of the trailer, though?
It was a little overdone.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's doing a shaky cam the entire time. And it's like, what are you doing? Both in cutscenes and gameplay. And it just made me nauseous. And I was like, who edited this trailer? They're bad at trailers.
Well, I think they were going for a vibe, you know.
But I don't think of 80s Saturday morning cartoons as shaky cam. They didn't have the money to do that.
That's fair.
That turned me off completely. I was so mad at them.
They talked about the next Splatoon Splatfest is on the way. Mm-hmm. In an important discussion, what is the best ice cream flavor, vanilla, strawberry, or mint chip? Quick, Charles, go.
Vanilla, strawberry.
Vanilla or strawberry.
Vanilla, strawberry, or mint chip.
Oh, I was going to say, man, vanilla, strawberry sounds great. strawberry.
Strawberry. Andy.
Oh, no.
Pick one. Go.
Strawberry.
You just pick one.
No, strawberry.
Okay. And then I, as the whitest of the three, pick vanilla.
I kind of want vanilla, though. You can put stuff in it.
Here's the thing with vanilla.
We're just talking about best of the three.
Vanilla is the best of the three. Well, here's the thing I'll say.
Ridiculous.
Fake vanilla sucks. You get like a vanilla bean, though. Ooh, baby.
Dude, I watched an America's Test Kitchen on imitation vanilla versus real vanilla.
Yeah.
Not that much.
I was actually taking a shower while listening to the direct at this point in time. And I honestly was thinking to myself, the Splatfest format of just picking things for people to show their opinion on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is very smart.
Yeah,
like, it's just an easy thing for people to pick sides on and then just fight over.
They really tap into the internet psychology of wanting to pick a fight over bullshit.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I'll die for mint chip.
Yeah, I just remember back to a couple of years ago with the McDonald's bracket. Love that. Just the ridiculous arguments that rise up as people just argue over nonsense.
And it wasn't hash browns that won, right? It was
believe McNuggets won.
McNuggets?
Which is not incorrect, honestly.
I think we covered that on this show, too.
Yes, we did, because it was important.
It was so important.
We really do have our finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm.
Next up, guess who's back? Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
And his famous pal, Tim. So weird. It's not Justice Smith. I don't know what to do with this. Justice Smith played Tim in the movie with Ryan Reynolds.
And we don't know if we're getting a sequel to the movie.
I think they're making a sequel to the movie because the movie did pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read an interview with him that no one knows if it's happening.
Oh, really? I swear I saw something about it being in development.
Me too.
I hope so. Weird. Because I loved that movie.
By the way, I just want to say, in the trailer for Detective Pikachu Returns, Tim Goodman wearing his iconic red hoodie. Detective Pikachu it's a fun little game with a literal talking Pikachu. And they solve, you know, children-like puzzles. Mm-hmm. This is not like Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright thing where you have to do investigation work. It's pretty easy logic jumps. The fun is being with a Pikachu who talks in a very deep register wearing a deerstalker hat, a Sherlock Holmes hat, and loves coffee. And also, not voiced by Sung Won Cho.
No. Which is a shame.
Everyone was like, man with a deep voice? Is it Sung Won Cho? It's not. Also known as Pro-Z. Pro-Z Gay. He tweeted out that every time this happens, everyone thinks it's me. It doesn't sound anything like me. Which I took to take is like, well, we just hear a deep voice and we're like, oh, I hope Sung Won Cho got some new work because we want him to succeed. You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's not that we can't necessarily tell him apart. It's just that we're like, oh, maybe he's doing a slightly different voice.
Pro-ZD is the voice of our nerdy generation, okay?
That's right.
I just want him to be happy and pay that mortgage.
That's right.
He's such a talent. What a treasure.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Did either of you play the original Detective Pikachu on the 3DS?
I did not.
Yeah.
Did you try?
Neither did I. Like, this game has no attachment to me.
No.
I don't know if I'll play it when it comes out, but it is just a funny, weird thing that exists.
Yeah, I love that it exists. But
it'll be coming out on October 6th.
Hmm. What a joy.
Yep. Well, you know what? After that, it's a big surprise. What could possibly come next? What possible thing could shock the world? That's right, baby. Super Mario RPG is getting a remake. Oh, boy. The thing, like, this has been in, like, licensing hell forever because this wasn't even Square Enix. It was Squaresoft when they made it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So this was the first Mario RPG game, and it is getting a 3D remake. When was the original Super Mario RPG released? I want to feel it was like 96.
I don't remember. I think I was like in third or fourth grade when it came out.
Well, original Super Mario RPG.
It was on the Super
Nintendo, but like
96.
96 was around the time.
Oh, fucking nailed it.
This was the first game I ever saved up and bought. I remember I saved up. I remember the commercial too. Do you guys remember the commercial where I think it's an old man in a rocking chair. And then like with that 90s attitude, like some kid comes in and is like, this isn't your grandpa's Mario game. And then like it shows the graphics and it blew my mind. And I wanted this game only because of the graphics. And I had no idea what RPG meant. And I remember when I would talk with people about it, we couldn't figure out what it stood for, so we thought it stood for really pretty game.
It's adorable.
Our third grade brains came
and
up
then, and then you saw Mallow and you changed your mind? Or
no, Mallow was a part of that journey. So this game is actually pretty special to me. I have a lot of memories. It was pretty important being in my first purchase. And then seeing this, I didn't want it. I don't want this at all.
I was about to ask. I'm like, so how do you feel about the... Do you not want it because of the art style change or because you think you'll never match the nostalgia?
If they changed Mario and Peach's character models, I might want it. But they just look stupid.
They do look weird. I don't like that style.
They're like compressed.
Yeah. It looks like someone squished them, but didn't adjust the proportions.
Like, it's not chibi stuff. It's like
somebody picked them up. And then, like, close their fingers down a little bit on them. And then they didn't retake their shape once they were done.
And, like, that wasn't what the original characters looked like all that much. Like, I genuinely don't understand what their thoughts was. I don't even think it needs a remake. I feel like its art style is unique to itself.
Oh, that's not could have got away. I think they could have got away with keeping closer to the original art style.
Sure.
I would say this is a unique, at least for the main characters, this is a unique art style. They showed like things like the Wiggler and other people, and they look a little closer to kind of how they appear in other standard Mario games. Even Bowser kind of looks normal, but like your Mario's and your Peaches.
So bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird look. It's not off-putting to me. They look like toys. To me, this kind of looks like a companion style to how they redid Link's Awakening.
All right. I hear you. I hear you. And honestly, I don't know. Maybe I'm just hung up on it. It's a special game to me. I will say, too. Oh, and she's on screen right now. I think when you go to the Cloud Kingdom, I think it's Malo's mom or something. But you fight her, and I will just say her animations aren't as animated in the remake as they were in the original.
Are you suggesting that her breasts aren't as big?
Not just that they're big, but they don't, the physics aren't there as
well. They don't jiggle jiggle?
The Super Nintendo had better physics.
I see.
More animated, pre-rendered, whatever, but...
So
I was looking for the trailer.
This is where Andy's real problems are.
I just remember it so distinctly.
Andy is one Twitter account away from going, fix that for you.
You know what?
Why is there peach fuzz on this lady?
Why isn't she wearing makeup? Oh, but you know what? Maybe this is just the censored version, right? The U.S. censored version.
There you go.
And I can get mad about that, about how every boob window is taken away and how that somehow compromises everyone's artistic intent.
Andy hates it because it doesn't have big boobies. Charles, you said you don't love the style. Are you excited about the game?
I'm excited about the game because I actually did not get to play Super Mario RPG as a kid.
Mm.
And it felt... unfair to play it on a ROM when I was in high school and all that stuff. So I just didn't get around to it. But yeah, so I'll get a chance to play it. Granted, it'll be a little bit uglier than I'm used to, but it's okay. That's also going to be part of my review.
There's also a secret Final Fantasy boss in the
original. People were talking about that today. I didn't know that. I also didn't play...
Is it just Chaos?
Honestly, I forget who it was.
It's from 4, I think, right?
They said 4, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the Mega Sisters?
It's not the sisters. It's like some... I remember being a giant sprite. And you had to, like, get a key through, like, a series of missions, kind of like what Link's Awakening had. And then you open the door and you fight a boss. Then he's like, hey, guys, I don't know, have something? I don't remember. But anyways, I'm excited to see what they replace it with because they didn't show Square's name on this.
Yeah, they did.
They did? I didn't see Square's name.
Let me see on the
Nintendo. Maybe they'll replace it with a Xenoblade thing, because they've got Monolith Soft under their thumb now. Maybe we're going to see some Shulk and some other characters I forget.
All the lovable ones.
All the lovable ones.
You know.
Maybe we'll get Cosmos. We're getting Cosmos in it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not.
And yep. We're sending those handwritten letters now.
Oh, by the way, there was also confirmation that Yoko Shimomura, I think I said that name.
Shimomura? Right.
Yeah, will be coming back to do the rearrangement of all the music.
Oh, cool. Yep. This was one of her first games, I think. Famous for Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy XV.
I swear there was somewhere it's... Oh, well, it's tough to tell. I swear somewhere it was saying that it was in collaboration with Square, but I'll have to look into this.
Well, my bet's on...
Oh, yeah, here it is. On June 21st, Nintendo and Square Enix announced a remake.
Oh, okay. Maybe we will get Final Fantasy in it still. Well, they can update it to Sephiroth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to fight...
I mean, you got to figure, too, like Square sees how well they do with... Kingdom Hearts, right? With their Disney catalog. Imagine if they made Kingdom Hearts, but with the Nintendo catalog.
Okay. Well, Final Fantasy kind of fell out of Kingdom Hearts, didn't it? Did the newest Kingdom Hearts even have anything from Square in it?
Yes.
Oh, it did.
Very lightly.
Okay.
Very lightly.
Yeah.
Nice little
Cloud was smattering. Cloud was in there.
That's it. Very lightly. Yeah. He's not relevant to the story.
They had to finish up the Wanderer in the Dark storyline, Charles.
Right, right. Keyblade, Master of Masters, Ansem 2.
I too know her. Yep, there you go.
Aqua God Norden, I know that. Yeah,
Aqua God Norden. Forgot about Aqua God Norden.
Donald Duck casts Zeta Flare, the strongest one in the entire fucking game, and then dies.
More powerful than Bahamut. Wow, that's also going to be relevant probably tomorrow or later. Anyway, yeah, I lost what I was going. Here we go. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited. I never played RPG. I played Thousand Year Door. So this will be my first time to play RPG.
Sure. I loved the game. I love it.
And again, it's coming out on November 17th. Also, they gave a blink and you miss it tease that Princess Peach will be getting her own game. It seems to be 2D and it takes place on like a stage play kind of arena. They really did not tell you anything more than that.
No, they even like showed her stand on a platform and she transforms and then they cut it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. We'll see more about that. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's like a late summer, that's like a summer 2024 game maybe that we'll hear more about later. But
I was thinking it's going to be, do you guys remember Rhapsody? On the PS1?
Rhapsody?
No. Raps? Oh, did I say it? Sorry. Rhapsody? It's hard.
Rhapsody. Andy, hard. Hold on. Oh, no, we're going to figure this out.
Rhapsody?
Nope.
Rap?
Nope. Say rap. Close enough. Okay.
Rhapsody.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyways, it was a PS1 game. It was a musical RPG. It had like a remake on the DS, but that's what I got. That was the vibe I got here. And I was like, maybe it's going to turn into like a musical action game. And wouldn't that be silly and fun?
Yep.
I'm down for it. I've never played Rhapsody. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And again, in terms of Nintendo just trying to shove every game that it's ever had onto the Switch, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon from the 3DS is getting a ported version to the Switch.
That was a good game.
Yeah. Oh, I never played it, but I heard a lot of people loved it.
Very good.
Yep.
That was one where Miyamoto told, because it was made by a third party.
Yeah.
I remember reading a thing where Miyamoto was like, these bosses suck. Go remake it. And they remade everything. So Miyamoto's still in there telling you you suck.
Fly through a couple of these. Batman Arkham Trilogy, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight will be coming as a bundle to the Nintendo Switch. Sure. Gloomhaven, the board game hit, will be coming to the Nintendo Switch as a weird card hexagon game coming out in September. I doubt it's only coming on the Switch. I think that'll probably be everywhere. Just Dance 2024 coming to the Switch. Silent Hope, a new roguelite action RPG from XSEED and Marvelous, coming out on October 3rd, has base building aspects as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a new Harvest Moon.
No, it doesn't have enough. Harvest Moon had way more farming.
It had the cows.
Fair.
It had the cows. I think it might be similar to what Rune Factory was. And at first Rune Factory, I'm pretty sure was labeled like, it was like on PSP, I think. And it was like Rune Factory, a fantasy RP or fantasy Harvest Moon. So this will be a fantasy Harvest Moon again. I'm pumped for it. I got super excited when I saw it because I love base building. And it looks like, you build up your base, you continually explore a single area. It's not a tower. That would have made it perfect. I think you go underground.
Fair enough.
But I'm pumped.
Another farming game, Fae Farm, coming out November 8th. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, coming out on the Switch on October 19th. Manic Mechanics, which is Overcooked but for car repair, coming out July 13th. That'll also probably be on other systems, I would guess. Mario and Rabbit Sparks of Hope will be getting its second DLC pack. And a demo is getting released on us on the Nintendo eShop. A story that we didn't really have time to cover, but just as an aside, Yves Guillemot, as I love saying his name, of Ubisoft, said that Nintendo actually told them, hey, maybe don't release the sequel to Mario and Rabbids until we release our next console. And Ubisoft said, we know better. And then it didn't sell well. I didn't buy it. So I bought the first one and buy the second one. Next up, it's as if they made this just for me.
Yes, James. I wanted to ask you about this.
And one. Also the nation of Japan. Only two people care about this. Me and every other Japanese person. Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince, a new Dragon Quest Monsters game. If you vaguely remember, when I talked about getting my analog, the little portable Game Boy emulator device, I talked about playing my Game Boy copy of Dragon Quest Monsters on this. And I was like, I played it, and I'm like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing in this game anymore. But now it's back. And I was corrected today, too. Dragon Quest Monsters invented the Pokemon genre.
Really?
Yep. Dragon Quest Monsters was the originator of the capture and breeding. I think they call it fusing now in Dragon Quest Monsters. All that kind of functionality and gameplay that started with Dragon Quest Monsters. Predated Pokemon Blue and Red. That's
interesting. I wonder why Pokemon took off then.
Pokemon because
better art style.
Yeah, no, that's not fair. I mean, that's not unfair. And also, there's just less baggage, right? Sure. Dragon Quest has a lot of baggage that comes with it.
I was just gonna say, because Dragon Quest was insanely popular.
Yeah.
But I guess when you bring it to the States, that Pokemon just did it.
Yeah.
There's an alternate timeline where this was, where we would have a detective slime. That didn't happen.
There were other, I think it was either 3DS or 2DS games too that came out not recently, but there was one, and there was a Dragon Quest Joker games, Dragon Quest Monster Joker. Okay. There were three of them. One and two only got released in America. I think three never did. So this is the first Dragon Quest Monsters game to come out in America in a long time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There was a Shin Megami Tensei Pokemon that came out here, too. I think it was called, like, Devil Kids. But I remember. I always wanted to play it after the fact.
Next up, we got a bunch of Pikmin. Or was this Pikmin next? No. Next up was Metal Gear Solid Master Collection coming to Nintendo Switch on October 24th, as well as everywhere else. That's Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 and 3, and also Metal Gear 1 and 2.
And Snake's Revenge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Snake's
Which Revenge. Was not developed by Kojima. It was like some like American cash-in, I think. I don't know who developed it, but it wasn't part of that series.
Can I tell you how amused I would have been if they're like, and exclusively for the Switch, Metal Gear Solid 4?
That would have been insane.
Just to be like, we couldn't figure it out anywhere else, but we got it on the Switch.
Hey, this is just, what do you include in volume 2 though then? Like the PSP?
We discussed this. Portable Ops, Acid, maybe Revengeance. Yeah.
That's right. Ooh, Revengeance. Let's go.
Next up, they had Vampire Survivors, the great game. We talked about it. Coming to Nintendo Switch on August 17th with 4-player couch co-op, which is, that's a crazy, I'm actually looking forward to them rolling that out on maybe the Steam version, because with Steam Remote Play, you could do that. Vampire Survivors is a fun game. Like, that's a great game where you could just zone out and talk to your friends while playing at the same time. So, yeah,
I've still not played it.
Oh, Andy, maybe if they bring that to the Switch, we'll play it together.
Oh, it's only $5, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's DLCs at this point that pump it up, but it's still pretty cheap.
Fair.
Yeah. Next up, they had Headbangers Rhythm Royale, a pigeon-based musical battle royale. So really what this is it's a WarioWare battle royale where you and I don't remember how many different pigeon-like characters, think like Fall Guys, right? But you sit there and you play a bunch of like little WarioWare-style games, little mini-games, and that's how you, and whoever survives the longest wins, battle royale style. So cool idea. That's a very cool idea. Made even weirder by the fact that they then also announced a new WarioWare game.
Yep.
Later in this presentation, called WarioWare Move It, focused entirely on using the Joy-Cons to do crazy little dances and do things. I don't know. How did you two feel either about this game or WarioWare Move It?
I'm excited for WarioWare. That's just
did they give a date for WarioWare? November 3rd. Not in time for PAX, unfortunately.
It reminded me of like, this is what happens when you let people have fun, right? Just seemed like a game built on joy. But what about you, Charles?
I was never really a strong WarioWare fan. Mm-hmm. So I recognize a lot of people love it. So you know, I'm happy.
It's a good party game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, remember how we talked about how the Sonic Mania team was doing something else? Yeah. Hey, we finally figured it out. It's called Penny's Big Breakaway, which is a new platforming game kind of based on like a yo-yo-like functionality. We were kind of tossing yo-yos and moving around. It looked very smooth, very cool. I don't want to play it on the Switch. I hope it's on other platforms.
It gave me Treasure vibes.
What's Treasure?
The developer? They did, yeah. And maybe because they did Dynamite Heady. They did Gunstar Heroes. They did Ikaruga. They did whatever that Radiant Silver Gun. I think that's what it's called. It might have been a different one on the Saturn. They did that really good McDonald's game. But anyways... and Mischief Makers, and that game where you, to bring it back to boobs, like you control both hands with the analog sticks, and the enemies are big, or people with big boobs, and you fling them back at it. Anyways, they're iconic, and the game reminded me of that, and I got really excited.
Okay. Next up, Charles, I'm sure you do want to talk about this. Star Ocean Second Story is getting a remake in the HD 2D style, as seen like Octopath Traveler and I think Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster, coming out November 2nd. Tell me about Star Ocean Second Story, Charles, because I'm only really like tangentially aware of the Star Ocean series.
So Star Ocean Second Story. So Star Ocean Second Story came out in the US on PlayStation. I think it was after Final Fantasy VII. So when you were a person starred for really fun JRPGs, this is probably one of the games you ended up grabbing. The cool thing about Star Ocean and what really sticks to me for this game was it had a lot of different dynamic story things that you can do with your game. So like everyone, like the main story, you know, does end, start and end in a very similar way, but the cast of characters can be very different. So there's a certain number of people that you could have in your party, but you could technically have them join temporarily, but to get them to join permanently, you would have to do certain things and fill certain requirements. So like certain characters won't join you if you started as either Rena or Claude, or if you recruited somebody early, someone else probably won't join you right away at all for the rest of the game. All the characters have specific types of food that they like. So like you can craft, you could use the game's crafting system to cook and make certain meals and then give them to your team so they're, you know, so they get stronger and they like you more. Mm-hmm. One of the more interesting parts of the game for its time was there was basically like an endless dungeon mode. So the final dungeon wasn't technically, something you're intended to beat. You're just supposed to see how far you get, and all the enemies get super strong by the very end. What I liked most about it was the combat system with this game. Even though it's not necessarily groundbreaking, it was the first game I played where the battle system was in real time. So it wasn't a turn-based RPG. Oh. It was an action RPG. And you can map all the abilities onto the shoulder buttons of your PlayStation controller. And you only ever had control of one of your party members at a time. So you would have to jump between them if you needed people to do things. And there was a basic rudimentary dumb AI. It's not really fair to call it AI, but you know, a behavior system for the game that lets the your party members know to do certain things. So this was the first time you ever thought to yourself, if my health is low, somebody please cast, you know, a healing spell and do whatever. And along with that real-time battle system, there's a way to like interrupt your opponent's spells. So if you were really smart and you were losing the people that required like some loading time for their spells, you would try to knock them out of their spell casting. So you just, you know, you dash across the battlefield and try to hit them as hard as you can to keep interrupting them. And you can stun lock your enemies until they die. And the story is actually pretty good. Star Ocean as a franchise is one of my favorites. I didn't like the third game because it kind of takes you out. It gets a little too crazy for you where you...
the PS2 one?
Yeah, because... well, all right, let me just tell you guys. It in that one, you deal with the fact that you might be in a computer simulation, and then you come out of the simulation to fight your creators and tell them to not touch your stuff anymore, and then you go back. So you're just like, oh, no, wow, this game is trying to be real serious about existentialism. But you don't need to do that. Just let me have this sci-fi fantasy realm of super technological space traveling boy that gets lost in a basically rudimentary planet that only has magic and is trying to find his way back home. Also, for you players that might be interested, play as Rena, because you get to have the chance to recruit her childhood friend Diaz, who looks like Sephiroth but is actually nice and will join your party.
They also went over and talked about the Nintendo Live event in Seattle. Two new Zelda amiibos are on the way, Princess Zelda and Thick Ganondorf, coming out this holiday season.
Hot Ganondorf. And let's go.
10 years later, we have finally gotten a new 2D Mario. They closed the show with Super Mario Brother, Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where the flowers keep talking.
The flowers talk to you. You eat some weird cosmic mushrooms and things get a little weird.
That part looks cool.
They say it's they're called wonder seeds, and I believe they send you into experience the wonder of the world around you. This is a new art style. It looks still a little similar to the new Super Mario's art style, but it is new. It's not quite the same style as the Super Mario RPG either, so it's a little different there.
Yeah,
but weird. Well, no, I mean they switch it up.
So like many, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say they switch it up occasionally. Like we've been in the new Super Mario Brothers era for style now for like the past 10 years. So this. Probably, if this is well received, this is what the next style is going to be for like the next 10 years of Mario.
I hope it's not well received then.
Oh, really, Charles? I kind of like it. What don't you like about it?
My similar problem with Super Mario RPG. I think the character is just a little too compressed than I'm used to. Like right now in the video we're playing, Mario's already eaten a normal mushroom to be like his big version of himself. And it still looks kind of weird.
Okay.
Like he still looks short anyways. Like the gameplay, it's fine. I think it's cool and everything else, but I just don't like this art style. It's just,
we're getting curmudgeon-y, Charles.
I don't know if it's curmudgeon-y.
Curmudgeon-y.
I think I have an opinion on looks.
Nope. It's because you can't move on. I'm deciding for you, Charles.
Yeah.
I'm dragging you down with me.
I was going to say, I was like, this is a very ironic thing to say.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder, they gave a release date of October 20th. If that date sounds familiar to you, that's the same day Marvel Spider-Man 2 comes out. That's okay. I mean, this is pretty evergreen, right? This is not an intense story level game that you're going to have to play immediately to be a part of the discussion. Super Mario will always be there for you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it seems like they're really leaning into like this weird dreamlike state and how it's very like the almost fairy like weird world of Mario. So I don't know. It seems like they're going to get weird with it. Also, there's a new power up that turns Mario into an elephant.
That's pretty cool. No Yoshi, though.
I thought I saw Yoshi in the trailer.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I might. Yes. Yeah, I think there was a Yoshi in the trailer.
Oh, or no, that was the Wonder Seed.
It does look like the caterpillar enemy was running with you at some point, but I didn't fully understand that. It looked like it was keeping pace with you, and I was like, "Is it with you?" Yeah.
There's Yoshi.
Yoshi. Thank you for calling that out. So there is a Yoshi.
Oh, he's gonna jump off him and abandon them just like we always do.
Exactly.
Yoshis are meant to die. I mean, hey, 2D Marios are the bread and butter of a Nintendo console, and you know what? There's always one per console cycle, and that's it. Now we're done here.
Now we're done.
Yeah. This
is about bookends.
This conference very much. Oh, also they had a Pikmin 4 deep dive.
Oh yeah, good call.
Oh yeah,
looked fun.
I'm not a Pikmin guy. I never have been. I've tried it several times. If you like Pikmin, I'm sure it's going to be a great game. but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the next time we hear from Nintendo, it's going to be about their new console. Although I will say they still don't have the goddamn Wind Waker Twilight Princess ports. They also didn't announce any DLC for Tears of the Kingdom either, which I think at this point we already knew about DLC for Breath of the Wild. Right. So those are two weird points. I don't know why. I'm sure it'll come. Tears of the Kingdom sold incredibly well.
They had a thank you in this.
Yes, they did.
So let me add one more thing about Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because I was thinking about it when I saw that figure statue thing of a Ganondorf. So I need some history lessons from both of you.
Keep in mind, this is time you're taking out of Final Fantasy 16 discussion. Listen,
that was your fault from last week. But let me talk about... is it normal that, and again, I've only played Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. Is it normal that Ganondorf doesn't really have that much interaction with Link?
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah, Ganon, you never really, Wind Waker, you see him a couple times. Twilight Princess, you see him a couple times. Ocarina of Time, you only see him once.
I think you only see him before the end.
All right, that's all I needed to know. And thinking about
Skyward Sword doesn't have Ganon, it has Demise. Ganon doesn't show up in Link to the Past until midway. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty standard.
Yeah, interesting. My only thing is, you have such a good model of Ganon here, right? This is sexy Ganondorf. And you only use them very sparingly.
Well, that's like the Wind Waker Ganon too. He looks incredible.
Yeah, it's a shame. I kind of wish.
Or actually, what am I saying? The Twilight Princess Ganon looks fantastic. He's got that glowing scar in his chest.
I'm trying to remember what he looks.
That's the one that's in Smash.
Oh, sure.
Huh.
He just leaves you wanting more. That's okay.
Yeah, he's always kind of this weird side. You see him at the beginning to establish stakes, and then you never see him again until the end. Is almost how it always works.
Yeah, so it's the dynamic between Link and Ganondorf is it's never a personal, never necessarily a fully personal story between them. It's just a duty to right wrongs.
They're diametrically opposed characters.
Yeah. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
No one's saying that Zelda is
I'm not saying anything about that either.
All right.
I just prefer something else.
I think it was a pretty good direct. I don't know. I walked away from it not feeling great. I saw a lot of people this is a fantastic direct. And I was surely it had a lot of things that I liked, but also I was kind of I think Super Mario RPG was the big surprise.
Sure.
Yeah. Everything else is I would expect these things to happen, you know?
Yep. Even Star Ocean?
That got leaked a while ago, too. Sure.
Well, even beyond the leak, right? I think Square remaking games. That's Square, right? Or is that Sega?
No, that was.
It was technically...
Atlas? Didn't they publish it?
No.
Enix.
Yeah.
Back before they merged.
Oh, right? So does Square. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's Square now, yes. But yeah. The original.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Square's going through their catalog and just remaking those games in 2D HD style. Although, I'm surprised they didn't Star Ocean 1 first. Is there a reason?
They already did do Star Ocean
1. They already did one. Okay, then perfect. Yeah,
that's it. I played it. Yeah. Yeah, I played that last year. Very short.
Oh, they did the first one? On what?
Yeah. Switch. Huh. And I think PlayStation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Star Ocean Side Story is coming out on PlayStation and Xbox as well. But yeah, I don't know. Just I didn't come away from this direct being like frustrated or anything like that, but I also didn't come away being like, I'm excited to play games on my Switch. Sure. It's more like I'm excited to be like, all right, this is the end of the Switch, you know?
Yeah, I think we're getting there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was surprised. Jeff Keighley tends to do a poll on Twitter being like, how is this presentation? And then a lot of people were saying, hey, the highest grade. And I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, Super Mario RPG must be carrying a lot harder than than I think. Like,
honestly, like, even though I don't want Super Mario RPG, I thought this was the best, like, reveal I've seen in a while compared against all the other directs.
If you want to compare it to more recent Nintendo directs, which have been incredibly boring bad, yes, it is best Nintendo direct we've had in a while. But I'm grading it against the other like conferences that we've seen over the past 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And in that respect, it's solidly in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
But it's better than PlayStation.
Better than PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job, Nintendo.
All right. Now let's talk about what Charles and Andy are dying to talk about. Now that we're done with this kid shit, let's get rated M for mature.
Yeah. Blood and gore and violence. And
sex. Andy, there are prostitutes in this game.
F-bombs. You're not holding us back.
I think in the depth. We're talking about Final Fantasy 16. I think there's a fuck in the demo. Sure there was, yeah.
There is. Well, it's not just a fuck. Well, it's a fuck, 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 fuck.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any, at least as far as I played, there were no strong F-bombs, emotional F-bombs.
Emotional
F-bombs. The seal's been broken thanks to Stranger of Paradise on the fuck word, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
All that is true.
They're used to it now. Fuck chaos.
Fucking kill chaos. Yeah, the review embargo came out today, currently sitting at a 90 on Open Critic with 95% of critics recommending. Mitchell Saltzman gave it a 9 out of 10 at IGN. Featuring fast, reflex-driven, action-heavy combat, Final Fantasy 16 is certainly a departure from what fans may expect out of a Final Fantasy game, but its excellent story, characters, and world-building are right up there with the best the series has to offer. And the innovative new active time lore feature should set a new standard for how lengthy, story-heavy games keep players invested in this world. Lane Harris at Games Radar said it's the kind of gamble that Final Fantasy has happily made in the past so the series may reinvent itself to execute the type of story its creatives want to tell. Time will tell Final Fantasy 16 pays off, but hurt history certainly supports it. And Michael Hingham at GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10, saying Final Fantasy 16 is a bold shift in both gameplay and narrative. It captures the Final Fantasy magic in stunning fashion, earning a place within the pantheon of incredible entries in the beloved franchise. People are tripping over themselves to love this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited too. We all had very positive reactions to the demo. I stopped playing it to save myself for the.
Well, did you you played the beginning? You played through the whole beginning section of the demo. You just didn't play the extra section that takes place later in the story, right?
I didn't leave the castle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't do the combat. He didn't go into the actual combat area.
Yeah, I did the training. I got hyped with the story and the world and a little bit of a taste, and I was like, nope, no more. Mm-mm. I want the rest. And so I stopped.
Yeah, I had a great time in the demo. I mean, it pretty as hell. I will say I heard in a lot of conversation that I was reading today, performance wise, it's still kind of iffy. You would think that releasing exclusively on the PlayStation 5, they kind of tune this thing to shit. But it sounds like, you know, in performance mode, you're going to have a stable 60, but it's running 1080p, 1440p sometimes. And what I heard is, like, if you can stand 30 frames per second, which, you know, that sounds so elitist to say, but I can tell the difference sometimes, right? And the 4K render of the game, much better, looks much better. I think I'm going to try it in quality mode tonight to see how the 4K looks.
Sure.
But that's a very nitpicky thing. That's a very nitpicky thing. Just be like, this game isn't as beautiful as it possibly could be. But you know, I think people are comparing it to being like your Horizons, your Ghost of Tsushima, your Last of Us, to be like, while this isn't necessarily a Sony first party studio, this is a Sony PlayStation exclusive release. So you would expect it to have that same level of polish. Mm-hmm. So similarly to, I think, like Final Fantasy VII Remake too, like that mm-hmm. game was stunning, you know?
Yeah.
And while I don't think anyone's saying this game is, you know, ugly, I don't necessarily think it reaches that same, outside of maybe like the icon battles, which are when you fight as the summons, which they have in the demo and were incredible. I think people aren't necessarily praising the art direction and beauty of the game in all modes as much as they did 7 Remake. At least sure. That's how I took it from my my readings about it. You two, however, big fans. I want to know what you guys think about the reviews.
Charles, you go ahead.
What do I think of the reviews, or just from my own?
Well, for your opinions from the demo and to what people have been saying, and what either gives you caution or, you know, makes you feel excited.
So for me, and completely subjective, I barely noticed any problems right through the demo. At the very least, I know there were complaints about like some of the frame rates dropping and everything else, but I don't have an eye for that. I tend not to, you know, I'm also somebody that can't notice the difference between 30 and 60 FPS when I see it. Like, so it's a bit awkward when people say that. I was like, okay, like I'll take your word for it. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. There are people that are used to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they will do this. That being said, the game's really fun. Like going through combat, running around, meeting people, that was all a joy to me. I think the best feature in the entire world that I want every game to have now is the active time lore system.
Yeah.
Which is, listeners, if you don't know, if you've ever watched like Amazon Prime Video, and paused the scene, or even during the scene, like moved your mouse over it, you might see what looks to be like a little pop-up window overlay that's like, this is the cast of the movie based on the frame that you paused on. So like, let's say Jennifer Aniston in The Breakup is on your screen. You press pause and you see the overlay. It'll show Jennifer Aniston as X person. And then, you know, on the lower left, you might also see like a fun fact about, you know, the movie or whatever. They have that for this video game. And instead of like fun facts or the cast, it actually just gives you lore information about either, it gives you contextual lore information based on either the regions that are mentioned in the dialogue, the people mentioned in the dialogue, or even just the people on the screen. If you see somebody on the screen you don't remember really, pull up the active time lore screen, and it's just like, click on that person and it goes, this is the queen of the land, and you're like, oh, okay. And
you do that by pressing the touchpad, so it's super easy. Do you remember if you can do that in cinematics, or was it only during gameplay?
You do it in cinematics too.
Yeah,
like, that's pause.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very useful feature, and it kind of makes it so that if you just want to turn your brain off, you'll never have to press that active time lore. You can just ignore what they say and wait till the cutscene's over, start playing your game. Yeah. But if you're like me that likes lore, open it up, read everything, just figure out, get all that context and knowledge and just play it through.
Yeah. And the and you can turn your brain off with this game because, man, the combat was good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they are very forgiving. There's a lot of ways they can make the game easier for you. You could change the difficulty whenever you want. I believe it was confirmed that you could also reset any of your skill point investment at any time. Just reset whatever you just bought and then rebuild again if you find that you built your character wrong with no cost to you. That's great. And they also give you some like helpful accessories if you're having problems with certain game mechanics. Like there's a way to perfect dodge. If you're bad at dodging, you could equip an accessory that will pause when you're about to get hit and you can press the dodge button. So it's very accessible. It seems like anybody can play it and just enjoy the spectacle of everything.
I'll say too, the thing that kind of made me more excited for the game when I was reading the reviews was if you played the demo, they had a icon battle where you play as two summons fighting each other. And it kind of just amounts to you slamming the triangle button the entire time, which I'm like, ooh, all right, this could probably get boring. Like, this is pretty to watch, but probably could get boring later. In reviews I've read and listened to, they talk about how that is not how it goes. Even those battles, those very cinematic icon battles, get very dense and very tactical in terms of what you can do during them as the game progresses, which I'm like, that's great, because I can totally see games where it's like, we've created this super awesome cinematic spectacle and your job is to just do QTs during it, right? No, I think what they're saying is there's going to be times where you're really involved in the fight process and you're really being tactical about it and you're using all the skills you've gathered over the course of the game, which I'm like, man, this sounds great. And I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I know there were previews, like 6 hour long previews that some other people got to play a couple months ago. And they also mentioned that about the summons fight, aka icon battles, where they're not all going to be the same. Like, so, you know, if you don't like one icon fight, it's going to be different the next time. So you could, you know, pick and choose. And I agree, like, there's a worry with some of these fights with how things look so cinematic. How can you possibly make them varied and fun to play through if you're meant to play through it really and not amount to quick time battles? But it sounded like a lot of people were still very happy with them. So I am very hopeful about the next future ones that come up.
It releases tonight. So probably after this podcast comes out, it'll actually already be out. It'll be releasing tonight, January 21st, technically January 22nd, midnight Eastern time. I'll probably stay up for like an hour and play a little bit today. Luckily, if you did play the demo, it picks up where you left off. So you don't have to replay the demo part, which, great. I love that. Just another thing they did right with this, to not have it be where it's like, oh, because, you know, there's very cinematic games like this. Sometimes it's a bit of a slog to go through those opening tutorial sections a second time.
Yep. And it was very smart to be able to do that. It allowed a lot more people to not feel guilty of playing it. People can just start the demo and play the game, have their impressions, and then just let the talk spread before the release.
Yep.
But Andy, you've been quiet because he's muted this entire time.
Oh my God, I've been muted this entire time.
Oh my God, Andy. Professional
media men.
I think I had to burp a while ago, so I muted. And now, I gotta say, my beer looks like Irish Spring. And then I've been like...
You get weird beer. All right, Andy.
Anyway,
Close us out with your opinions on this.
Okay, sorry about that. All I was gonna say is I'm excited for it. Among the reviews I read, and to be fair, I think I only like glimpsed at the Detoid one, and then even NPR reviewed it. Today, in between all the articles about that submarine no one can find, which God bless them.
We don't have time.
I'm excited for it. I stopped the demo early because I wanted to be in a good spot to just go and run with it. The original demo like literally inspired joy in me. It got me to sit up from laying down, and I never sit up when I'm playing games. So that is just how energizing it was and how excited I am. And I'm going to pick it up from Best Buy tomorrow night and start playing it.
Tomorrow night? Mm-hmm. Or you mean tomorrow morning? Oh, you mean after work tomorrow?
After work.
Suckers.
I wanted a physical version, so I am also
picking. I understand. Well, and Charles, also be like me, just get the physical and the digital.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Also, listeners, just, you know, I think it might be said before, you might get this from context clues. You don't need to play previous Final Fantasies to play this game.
Oh, yeah.
I know the 16 sounds scary as if you need to learn everything. No, you don't. It's an anthology series. They're almost always directly different unless it says something kind of obvious like Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird naming system, but you kind of get how they're linked.
Or right? It's like, yeah, they'll subtitle the game to be like, this is a 13 game or a 16 game or something like that, or it's one of the MMOs, which were 11 and 14, which are still currently live.
Yeah, so either way, just 16. You don't need anything else.
Yeah, I mean, certainly as a Final Fantasy fan, you will appreciate things in this game more, but you don't need those things to just appreciate this game.
Yeah. There's winks to things. It's not like you needed to know what.
Kind of funny. Had a great. Or it might have been Michael Hingham, I can't remember, but someone during the Kind of Funny review talked about how essentially this was almost as if Yoshi-P, the director's kind of take on what if we made an MCU of the Final Fantasy lore, which is to say, just take kind of all those pieces and disparate ideas of Final Fantasy and just work them into context of like one story where you don't need to know the millions of fucking comics that go in with Bahamut and fucking Ifrit and all this other shit. We're going to set up one specific story for them. But within those stories, there are lots of callbacks to things that people who know the deep lore will get. But you don't need those things. You can just go and watch Iron Man 3 and be happy, right? So yeah. We will probably have a lot to say about it next week on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James. Maybe don't go visit the Titanic in a bolted death trap, Hartwell. And I've been joined by
Charles, still a legit media person now, Yamant. And I've been joined by
Andy. I'll finish a beer even if it's bad.
Disgusting.
It's not that bad. It's kind of soapy, but maybe because
I don't want any food I ever eat to be described as soapy.
I think it's just the branding. It's 6.8 though, so maybe that's how I got through it.
Address that on another episode of At Two there Party. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Play 16.